Good morning, everyone. This is Linda J. Wolf. It's been a long time. I want to share with you how I got to this point, to this day. I wrote something about this. I wrote a poem. This poem I titled City Lights. City lights and I drown. This move, 3 weeks of hell, where muscles feel like agony falling from the bone. Reminder to myself, I am not Wonder Woman. I cannot be a superhero. I can only ask my body of what capacity it is capable of. The reason I wanted to write this, because so many times we think or we pause and do more, not pause, we persist and do more than what we are capable of. Almost like we're superhuman, like we have these special powers. I've been in a relationship with a man named Philip, and for 6 months, it has been absolutely wonderful. You know, when both of you are retired, there's not a job to go to. There's not something that distracts you away from building upon a foundation as love. 7 days in a week, and out of those 7 days in a week, 4 of them you spend together, not just for an hour. In the beginning, it's like that, but over that course of those 7 days, you engage with each other, you interact with each other, you communicate with each other. There's so many essential pieces, and this is where I find our situation, our relationship unique, because we have both worked a lifetime. We have both been focused, goal-orientated to make sure that we had something to fall back on a rainy day. Now, in 6 months, we have built a really strong bond. So we both decided that we were going to buy a house and live together. Now, you have no idea how many people have told me that we are crazy. You guys are crazy. And do you know how many times I heard the sentence, it will not work. This will not work out for you. How can you only know each other for 6 months, been in a relationship for 6 months, no longer than 6 months, and want to buy a house together? You're insane. You know what? You're right. We are insane. But you know what? Just like let's say you go out and you purchase a 300-piece puzzle, and you invest 2 hours, maybe it takes you longer than 2 hours, but each one of those pieces, how do you start? You start with your cornerstones. Your cornerstones are your corner pieces. And you slowly start working your edge pieces together. Well, this is the way it worked out for Philip and I. One thing that I have learned in the dating process, and it took me several or more attempts to figure out what I was truly looking for. in all these pieces that we find in other people, there's got to be some correlation where you both like the same things, you both laugh over the same things, you both bring a certain maturity level to the relationship, you both enjoy the same type of music, you both enjoy the same type of programs that are on TV. These, it takes time to find all that out. But here's a mistake that we don't make in the beginning, is we do not ask questions. In our interaction within that time frame of a date, if there is that mutual attraction, that mutual chemistry, and you go out on your first date, you drop down all your walls, and you come and you sit at that restaurant table across from one each other, and you're only clothed in open, authentic, genuine self. That's when a relationship could start to work. See, too many times we come in front of this stranger and all our walls are built up. We actually have a lock and key onto our authenticity, onto our soul, our heart, our essence. Everything is guarded. If we could just drop all that and just trust in the hour, in the moment, and be real, you get to learn so much more about a person. If you ask and articulate the right type of questions, why would you want to waste 6 months on a person who was never meant to be your person? I have seen it time and time again. I have done it myself. I am guilty of wanting something so badly that I don't do my homework. Homework is the questions. Homework is, hey, do you like this? What type of foods do you love to eat? Do you like going to the ocean, swimming? These are all important things, because the more we can find a person that matches our core of who we are, the more the relationship has a chance of being sustainable for a long, long time. Now, with Philip and I asked all the right questions, but he was the one who initiated asking questions first. And then I engaged in that. Why wouldn't I want to know more about this person who I have this amazing connection to, attraction to? Why is it as humans we bring our immaturity to the table instead of our maturity? See, maturity says, hey, I want to know everything about you. I don't want to waste my time on the wrong person. And by asking all the right questions, those simple questions, you get your answer. But you know, the other thing we're capable of is wanting something so badly that we dismiss a behavior. And it's right there, blatantly red flag sitting right there in front of us. I've done it. Guilty. But you know what? When my late husband passed away 7 years ago, I immediately got into another relationship, which I should have not. I did not give myself time to heal, time to grieve, then time to heal. I did not go through all the proper stages, all 5 or 6 of them, however many there were. But I know now. So I dated. I kept choosing the wrong man. Why? Because I didn't put my homework in there. I didn't ask the right questions. But mainly, which I come back to myself, is I didn't know what I wanted. See? And when we stop and we heal from that broken relationship or from that grieving, and we give ourselves the time to process through all those stages of loss, then we come out more whole, more of an understanding. So I, in the course of 7 years, I dated 7 different people. And do you know what? Each one of them, I do not regret. They were all very valuable to my life. They actually helped me get to where I am right now with Philip. Too many times we get in such a big hurry to be in a relationship with someone because we can't stand being alone and feeling that lonesome feeling inside us. We have to replace what we lost. You didn't lose it. It was already there. It was already in the self. We just gave away a part of ourselves for a certain amount of time. That's what I came to realize. Linda, take the time to get to know who you are, not the replica of what someone else wants you to be. See, I had forgotten about myself. I forgot about all my core values. I forgot about what I really feel, what I love to laugh about, what type of music I love to sit at home in my lounge chair and relax to. I forgot to live. I forgot to love myself. But after 7 relationships or dating the wrong type of guys, I started learning something about myself. I started recognizing the things that I did not like, the personalities that just didn't go well with my core being. That's when I started taking a note and evaluation of everything that I was looking for, and writing down and thinking about the right type of questions to be able to find that right guy. And when I met Philip, I had opened up the Facebook dating app, and I had gone through plenty of fish. I had gone through so many other dating apps. And you know what? You got to get up front and real with yourself. Are you really putting yourself out there on these dating apps? Are you really being genuine and honest? I saw a lot of fake stuff. Do you really look in depth at what they write in their profile? Are their pictures really of yesterday, or are they pictures of 20 years ago? See, you got to look at the fallacies and the truths. And you got to be true to yourself. So when I went through all those dating apps, I dated people that weren't really into looking for the right one. They were into only taking up time and engaging in more fallacy. They were not serious. And guess what? It wasn't their fault. It was mine. Because I didn't have a complete perspective of what I was looking for. But I wouldn't regret any one of those 7 relationships that I went through. Because through each one of them, I gathered knowledge. I built a learning basis for myself. I started solidifying my own foundation of my core values. It takes a long time. And you know what? Don't blame yourself. Do not tear yourself apart because you didn't know. It takes time to learn who you are. And some people don't want to be with other people. They're so content with themselves and completely open and peaceful that they don't want to intermingle with someone else or engage, interact. They're loners. And you know, I'm okay with that. I have learned to be alone after eight years now. Even now, I am under this roof with this man that I've only known 6 months. People say, well, you don't really know him. Oh, you know what? I do, because I see it through his actions. I don't put believability into words, because as people through immaturity, we can say all kinds of things to get someone to believe us. But whether any of your actions, your effort, and your time and your resources hold true to those words is a different story. What I saw continuously day after day was repetition of action. This man called me every day, every morning, said good morning. This man checked in. This man, he spent time, he put effort, he put action and resources. And what I mean by resources is money. He invested in me. He also invested in my daughter. It wasn't the words that got me. It wasn't the words that made me fall in love with this man. It was his investment and his commitment to my happiness. Now that's what we need to look for. Now, for him and I, because we were retired, we had more time to invest. But if we're younger, we don't have that ample amount of time. So maybe you might get one or two dates in a week. We had four or five dates in a week. We got to know each other really fast. The other thing that was very crucial was our interaction through communication, our likes, our dislikes, our questions, our answers, doing things together. I don't mean taking all this time just texting and phone calling each other. That will only last for so long. You have got to have someone who is willing to get in a car, come and pick you up, take you to a place, put resources into it like money. This is a person who wants to commit to you. Now, up front, you might find those guys who do that just temporarily, and then after they are so far into the dating with you, they stop. I've been with those type of men. They don't want to invest anything in you. They only want one thing. That's the physicality of the relationship. They don't want that emotional part. I love it when I can finally recognize after a couple of weeks where a relationship is going and they are wanting just the physical part of it. And you know, you start feeling it whether someone really cares about you or not. If they're all words but there's no action backing up those words, you got to really listen to that. But a lot of times we let immaturity step in and we're not using our maturity listening skills. See, words, we can hear words, but we can also listen through all the action and the time and the effort. That's where I knew that Philip was a keeper. He was a good man. He warm, gentle, but he was One thing I loved is his masculine energy he always brought. He's very protective. When we're out in public, he's very protective. I love to see a man, and I'm so observant of this. I go out into public and I see the real men that really care about their woman when other masculine energy is around. I'm not talking about the man that has got his hand on a woman's neck, or he's got his hand around her waist or gripping her arm like he is not going to let her go and no one can come near her. That is not a good trait. I'm talking about the man that he wants to show other men that he is proud of his lady. He puts his arm around her gently, smiles at her, looks at her. You know, eyes are very engaging. And the man that can sit and across from the table at you and you're looking around and all of a sudden you feel this long gaze on you and you turn and he's just gazing at you with this sweetest warm smile on his face. That's a man that cares about you. People that don't care about you, they have shifty eyes. Yeah. When you don't care from your heart, your eyes do not stay. They're glancing, looking around. That's something that I noticed in one of the guys that I dated. I would be talking to him. The body was there, the physical body was there, but the heart was not there. The soul was not there. Because where were his eyes? His eyes were either staring at a TV, watching a football game or a golf game. It's okay if you're both sitting there and you know that football's going to be on. But if you're going to take a girl out on a date, the least thing that you should be doing is staring up a TV screen watching a football game when you were the one that asked her to go on a date. You should be trying to engage in a conversation, and especially if there's this mutual attraction, and asking her questions. See, you watching that football game is you not being present. You're not really being present. Maybe she's this beautiful girl and you're only after one thing. But that's not impressive. It's not impressive. Or the only other thing is, a major turnoff to me is a dude that asks you out on a date and where are his eyes the whole time, checking other women out, watching a football game or whatever's on the TV screen at the restaurant, or on his phone looking at what else is on there. Two words, he's not present. Three words, actually. He's not present for you. You know what I did one time? I'll have to tell you, this was rather funny. I went on a date with this one guy, and it was breakfast. And we get there, and we talk for a few minutes. But then I notice this phone is on the table and that there's a screen and there's football previews on there. And I tried to carry on conversation with him, and finally I just got frustrated. I said, hey, you know, I didn't come here to just watch you watch everything else, the TV screen and your phone. So maybe you just rather stay here and enjoy yourself here, and I'll just go because I truly have other things I can be doing. So have a great day, and I'm going to head out, okay? And I just walked out of the restaurant. Was that rude of me? Nah, that guy was wasting my time. He wasn't present. He never was gonna be. Nope. Never was gonna be. So you have to recognize red flags immediately. You have to recognize them. With Philip, the one thing, you know, and with Philip, he had a few red flags, but you know what is an amazing thing? It's what we call calling them out. Calling them out right when they're offensive. See, Philip thought that he could tease me. He has this sarcastic tone about him at times. And he thought he could say things in a sarcastic way and that it was okay. And I just said, one day he said something sarcastic to me, and I said, "Is this how you treat all the girls?" He goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "We don't even barely know each other, and you're already being sarcastic and saying things to me that are not quite that appealing to me." Well, I was just teasing. Okay, so in that type of sarcastic language, in what part of that did that bring a warm feeling to my heart? It stunned him right then and there. But what did I do? I put my values out there, see? I shared that this lady, she doesn't need sarcasm. If we can't have a warm, mutual, understanding conversation, you know, it's what I told him is, I'm just not going to tolerate that. You know, a lot of people think that just because they bring sarcasm in, that it's funny and you're just supposed to go along with it. Maybe because everybody else in their life has gone along with it. Maybe in all parts of their life, they were taught that that's an okay thing to do. Well, I called him out on it. And now, very seldom do I hear it. And if it comes up again, I call him out on it again. "Oh, I'm just teasing, Linda." Well, it didn't sound warm and fuzzy and kind and compassionate to me. I'm sorry. No part of that felt warm and funny, you know? So, you know, you have to stand up for your core values. You got to remind other people how you want to be respected, how you want to be treated. If you don't ever speak up, they will bring all their past and history with them, and you'll just be a victim of their history. And if it's abusive, emotionally abusive, you will become a part of it, a chapter. Another chapter of their life. So I guess what I'm saying here is, in this relationship, even 6 months, there are times that we have our differences, but I'll tell you one thing I don't do. I don't raise my voice. There's no need to yell at somebody to get somebody to understand where you're coming from. And you should be able, two people should come together through maturity and be able to talk to each other and level things out. You know, you got to have peace and harmony in a relationship. Not always going to be that like that, because you will have differences because you are each two different people, but you can be compatible. We have lived in this house for 3 weeks, but you know what? It's been absolutely beautiful because I see 6 months growing into something that can be profoundly an amazing relationship based off of love, based off of understanding and communication. And that's where we're at. It's like this morning. I have learned, I love being an observer, because already in 6 months' time, I can tell when he needs some space. And like this morning, he wanted me to go with him to a car show. But after yesterday and watching his body language and facial expressions, words, I knew he needed some me time. So this morning he says, you want to come with me to the car show? And I said, you know, sweetie, after how crazy this week has been, I just need to sit and wind down, you know. See, we can't be afraid to speak up, even though it's not what they want to hear. We have to recognize that through all their body language, through all their words, they're telling you something. And have you been open and aware enough to say, no, I am going to, in a very kind, polite way, step away and say no, and put it on yourself so you don't make them feel bad, you know? I just said, hey, I just need some me time. I really want you to go to the car show because I know how much you enjoy it, you know, and have a good time. I'll be here waiting for you when you get back, you know. And you know what happened after that when I said that to him? He looked at me and all of a sudden his eyes just glistened over and his face turned really soft. And he looked at me and he says, you know, he goes, I love you so much for being so understanding and so patient with me. I said, of course. I said, that's what people do when they love each other, you know. We have to be able to weigh things out. We have to be able to interpret, be mature enough to listen. Listen to body language. Listen to the signs of stress, the signs that, hey, I'm feeling a little crowded here. I just need space. Gotta listen to those signs instead of becoming angry with someone or frustrated because they want to be alone for a while. Nah, we have to be more understanding and communicate in ways that are peaceful. And all that does is when you say those type of words to your guy, do you know what happens to the love meter? It jumps up a few more notches. It just entwines a stronger bond with your man's masculine energy. I just wanted to share that today. Because we got to understand human nature is, we live in moments, and especially with smartphones and TVs and everything is such a distraction. When do we take the time to listen to the people that surround us in love? I hope this Saturday finds you all out enjoying your weekend, okay? And I want you to take each and every moment and make it more than what it is. This is Linda signing out. Take care, okay? Be good to yourself. Learn and recognize the things that make you, you. God bless you all. Bye for now. Talk to you soon.